I want to tell you about a time when I was a young person. Oh, before I do that, let me just remind you, we are kind of like bringing full circle on this series that we have been doing this summer, working through the questions that Jesus asks, that God is asking through Jesus to us. Remember, there was at least 307 of those, and we covered about six of them, right? So we plenty more questions to ask. I've got a fascinating printout. I kind of mentioned some of them in the weather report, in the Sunday forecast, just a great list. A great list, maybe, to spend time with in prayer. Anyway, that's kind of where we are. And then next week we're getting ready for Labor Day, so I expect none of you to be here. No, I want everyone to be here, but you know, we're kind of in transition. And then, right, it's fall kickoff. Yay, fall kickoff. So we have all kinds of things still in front of us. We'll be making a few adjustments in the worship service and just kind of like working with each other, right? So anyway, back to my story. When I was a young person, I had some health problems. It's a long story. I won't go into all that. But my mother and father tried to get the best care that they could for me, including taking me to a doctor that was basically two towns over. Notice how I didn't say city. It was two towns over. So I lived in Big Stone Gap, but we went to Wise, if you know where any of that is. I went to Wise, Virginia for medical care. And there was this long road between the two that snaked through mountains, this long kind of curvy road that took me there. And so we would frequently work our way to that place. So one day when I was about seven, I'm thinking it was about seven, I'm driving down the road with my mom, and I said to her, Mom, what is love? Now, I know that I personally have made the face that she made in that moment, which was perplexed, you know, like, I'm just trying to take my kid to the doctor. And here are metaphysical questions for me, you know? What the heck, little dude? She never said that to me. But she was thinking that, of course. And so there we are in this kind of moment of, well, what is love? I guess I'd heard about it on the radio. Remember, this is the early 70s. You know, everybody's talking about love and blue jeans and whatever. But we were, you know, surrounded by that culturally, certainly romantically. I'm sure that I heard about love in church. I'm sure of it. But not really having a clear understanding in my seven-year-old mind, I wanted to know. So my mother, to her credit, leaned in. Now, she gave me the best answer that she could initially, in what she thought a seven-year-old would understand, but that was not satisfactory for me. And so we began this whole dialogue about, well, how does that work? And what about these people? And what about, you know, a girlfriend? That was mortifying to my mom. But what is love? To her credit, she stayed with me. And she held on to that very question as long as it needed to be. And To this day, one of my favorite images of God is a mother who sticks with us trying to explain a mystery and maybe not even succeeding, but still sticking with us. So today, I wanted to spend some time kind of reversing what we have been doing to talk about the questions that you would ask. Now, my question right now is, where are my glasses? Oh, here they are. You did not take them. You have your own glasses. That's good. Because we have questions, don't we? I mean, we cannot fully do what we do as disciples or as curious religious people, as what we're trying to do here in church, without bringing those questions about life and faith and even those questions that don't seem very faithful. You know, the what the heck kind of questions. Now, there is a tradition inside of some churches that if you do that, then that shows your lack of faith and you should, you know, just kind of pull yourself together. I want to invite you who have experienced that, and I certainly have experienced that in my faith life, to be a little bit more gentle to yourself about that. Because these are things that are an exercise of the natural gift of making sense of things that God has given to us. So actually being able to question is an ability to actually go deeper. Now, this whole business actually shows up in Psalm 13. In fact, if you look at a lot of the Psalms, forgive my voice, I'm going to clear that up right now. Everybody together now. Feel better? Me too. If you look at Psalm 13 and what we just heard, it starts out like, where are you? And in fact, there are going to be a lot of those. If you take the book of Psalms, and which is right at the heart of your Bible, if you open up your Bible and you just kind of open it up halfway, more than likely you're going to wind up in the book of Psalms. And there you will find what people refer to as the prayer book of the people of Israel. And there you will find just about every human emotion, some of them beautiful, some of them hideous, but, you know, hateful, kind of like, I want to do this terrible thing to my enemies. It's all right there. Including, come on. What are you doing? Where are you, God? Now, we heard it read beautifully just a moment ago, but let me come back and bring out some of these words. How long will you forget me? Will it be forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long will I be left to my own wits, to my own defenses, agony filling my heart? Will it be daily that I'll have to endure with this? How long will my enemy keep defeating me? Look at me, Lord. You know, this is some of the hardest words, and not necessarily ones that some folks might be comfortable with in a relationship with God. Ooh, should you even say that? Well, it's right here in the if you read the Bible out loud, you're going to say it, right? If you take your faith seriously and your life experience, you're going to say it. Look at me, answer me, God. Restore sight to my eyes, otherwise I'll sleep the sleep of death. You know what he's saying. And my enemy will say, look at me, I won. My foes will rejoice over my downfall. But I have trusted in your faithful love. My heart will rejoice in your salvation. Even though I don't understand you, even though the questions are not being clearly answered here by you, by your preacher, by your people, by whatever, even though I'm still going to hang in with you, God. I'll sing to the Lord because he has been good to me. And that's something. Now, those are just a few verses altogether, but do you see the 180 degrees or the 360? There's geometry in there somewhere. It's nuanced geometry. It's not a complete reversal, but it certainly is powerful. It certainly is real. Now, so I want you to please know that the questions that you are carrying, the questions that you walked in here with, whether you've articulated them or not, are legit. And they're pervasive. I asked yesterday, I did a scientific poll yesterday of people who are on Facebook on a Saturday evening. Very scientific poll. If you have questions for God, what would they be? Some of y'all responded to that. I have a bunch of responses here. I won't say any names, okay? I don't want to call anybody out for sure. But I think it's a fascinating list. Here are the questions. First one, how long, O Lord? Didn't we just hear that? This echo from thousands of years ago. Here's another one. An all-powerful God versus free will of humans. So much evil in the world. How do we make sense of that? I'm like a three-year-old, someone writes. I have lots of questions. First, why do some little children have to suffer from illness or abuse? One remembers a very old question from philosophy, from the early questions about God, which goes, can you, God, create a rock so heavy that you can't lift? How much does it hurt when a giraffe has a sore throat? Someone asked. Why are avocado pits so big? Why are women treated so badly in the Bible and throughout history, in spite of how Jesus treated them so much? Someone says, all of them. Some are heavy theological type questions. How long? Or why? Or what? Or why so? Or so much? But some of them are really personal. Why did my life have these particular twists and turns? Why couldn't certain people have more time here? Why couldn't they have more time for me? Some are more curiosity questions. One person asked, how are you doing, God? Any friends, fans in here? How you doing? Why are loved ones taken from us after a tragic accident? And the real question, is, why the platypus? Y'all, if you don't know, look it up on the. Why all the suffering when someone is ready to die? Why old people live in pain and suffering when the young people who want to live die? Why did you create mosquitoes? Sorry if that was not helpful, they say. But seriously, and horseflies too. Will I ever be good enough? How are my loved ones who have gone on before me? Did I hear you right? Am I doing what you want me to be doing? Someone asks. Why do you take loved ones when we prayed so hard for them to live? I have tons of questions, but this one sticks out. Will we have all or some of our memories from earth when we all get to heaven? More explanation, please. I'm imagining that I'll be meeting my grandparents and relatives that died before me. Will I hear more of their stories and ask questions about their life? Or are all of their memories from earth lost? Do you laugh at folks who say you don't exist? If God resides outside the realm of space, time, and matter, is it possible that Jesus, Moses, and Elijah all met on the mountaintop at the same time? some of you know the singular electron hypothesis. That's the same thing. I was brought up to not question God, but if I did, it would be why he took my son and why at such a young age. Here again, someone says, why the duck-billed platypus? Another person asks with two smiling, kind of grinning, smiling emojis behind it says, I'm going with, what the heck are you thinking? Which is right from the scriptures, actually. Why? And if there is no answer to that question, how do we cope with the unanswered question? How do we reach the angry and disenfranchised with the light of Christ? Where's my mama, daddy, and brother? Can you just be there when I mess up and make it somehow turn out okay anyway? There were a few more, but I didn't get a chance to print them out. The last one stood out for its poignancy, though. It was, skunks! Why? Why skunks? Were you bored? Come on! Some of you have had skunk encounters, and it's not pleasant. These questions are real. Maybe some of these questions touched at some of your questions, the very painful ones, the very theological or esoteric ones, the very ones that bug us. But the thing I want you to know is that God is big enough to handle those questions. Why do you think they're in the middle of the Bible in the first place? Why allow that dissent even to be present? Whole categories of them. There are psalms that are psalms of lament. Where is my family? Why did this happen? Why did you allow this to happen? What? Why? There are books, Lamentations, right there in your Bible. There is a lot of the human condition that is represented in this, and still, God, who makes us and who loves us, can handle our questions, can handle those issues, those problems, and even those things that don't seem to be faithful. A really wonderful book that I'm working through now is about working with people who have been traumatized in their relationship with God's people and the church and with God. And there is this passage from the book that I wanted to share with you about a lady named Ruth. Ruth struggled to differentiate between God and church after the trauma she experienced. It's been really hard for me to disconnect God from church people. Did you hear that? That there are the things that happen in church among God's people that are not of God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You've seen this. Part of the difficulty came from navigating the death of her younger sibling to cancer at an early age and the questions it raised in her about God's activity and response to petitionary prayer, praying for other people. And then when she was ostracized by her church group, who said it was for the sake of love, it led her to think, if God's like you, I'm out. And yet, she held on to faith, in part because she believed God could handle her struggle to believe. If God is as awesome as God should be, I think God can hold my crap belief. Okay? Send me an email if you don't like what I just said. What I think of him doesn't have any bearing on what he actually is. Can I say that again? What I think of him doesn't have any bearing on what he actually is. He's going to be okay, and he's going to love me just the same. And when asked how she was able to stay with God and church after her traumatic experience, Ruth said, "Sometimes I feel like it's woven into my being. It's just the way that I know how to be. And sometimes, I think there's a lot of goodness in letting your faith follow your actions instead of your actions following your faith." Did you hear that? Read it one more time. "I think there's a lot of goodness in letting your faith follow your actions instead of your actions following your faith." So if you're not sure about things, it's okay. Because it's the God who created you and created all of everything. He's going to handle it. Can take that. In fact, I've argued for years that when we take those things and we offer them up to God, that's taking God seriously. I mean, it's easy to say, "Oh yeah, I believe this is okay. This is good. I believe that." And then walk away from it thinking, "Check that box, I'm done." But the reality is that if we're going to do this, it's going to take examination. It's going to take examination of God. It's going to take examination of ourselves. It's going to take examination and serious examination of each other. I mean, look at Thomas. We talk about doubting Thomas, right? Here is Thomas. He goes out to buy groceries. Jesus shows up with the disciples. I don't know if he went to Target or Wegmans or where, but Jesus shows up after his resurrection. He is there with the disciples. Thomas is out getting groceries, and he comes back, and they said, "Hey, guess what? Jesus was here." And what does Thomas do? What? Come on, Bible scholars. What does Thomas do? He shows that he's from Missouri, right? He's the show me state disciple, right? I want to see the nail prints in his hand. I want to see the wound in his side. And until that time, I'm not going to believe this. You know what? He was being serious. Because he had followed Jesus just like those others had done for years. And still, it was hard. What was happening there in front of them, what they were saying to him, was hard. Just as her questions are hard. Now, notice what Jesus does. Does he come back out of the back room and say, "Well, here I am"? He takes an entire week, okay? It's 7 days before he even shows back up. But he shows back up and he says, "Here you go." Gives him a little bit of a hard time, but does he throw him out? And what he says is, "There are people who are going to believe. Blessed are they." This is part of who we are and Jesus' response to us and how we live and how we move forward. Okay, so what are your questions? Everyone, don't raise your hand all at once. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Because I know, in fact, I thought about, like, should I get a whole bunch of questions and throw them up on the screen and that sort of thing and try to answer them? Boy, would you see me kind of squirming. Because I'm not God, right? I can tell you what I think. I can tell you some answers. Other answers we're still kind of working on, right? But you have questions. So I want to invite you to take those questions that you have, and take them seriously. Knowing that they might feel a little edgy, but God is able to deal with that. Knowing that there might not be an immediate answer, but in the pursuit of it, you may just discover how deep this mystery is and how mysterious it is. just how mysterious and true that love is underneath it all. So what are your questions? What are you going to do with them? And honestly, this should be a safe place to answer those. It should be a safe place to try to answer them, but it should be a safe place to ask them. May this be a place that we can create space for each other's doubt and space for each other's questions and space for each other to love in spite of it all. So what are those questions that you have? What are those things that are holding you? What are those things that are inviting you to be more open to the mystery? To my mom's credit, she didn't give up. And we had that conversation for years. And sometimes she would show me, in the way that she would take care of me or my brother. She would show me in the way that she put up with me and my dad and her mother-in-law. She showed me, and she talked to me and taught me. An image of God is this. Homework for the week: to take that question and to talk to God about it. And I say all this to you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.